Another important dimension is that most of us are like a ship in the ocean without a compass. Just imagine a ship in the ocean without a compass. It does not know where it has to go. And if you do not know where you have to go, then it does not matter where you are going. I find lot of youngsters don't have a compass in life. Neither the parents have a compass in life. So parents should teach children to create a very powerful compass. And the compass is, learn to be an outer winner and also an inner winner in life. Outer winner gives you success. Inner winner gives you satisfaction. A child should have this value. I have to learn to be successful. I have to learn to be satisfied. Now, a lot of people are successful, but they need not be satisfied. Lot of people are satisfied, they are not successful. Balance between success and satisfaction is very important. Success is getting what I like. Satisfaction is liking what I get. Therefore, sheer success is not equal to satisfaction. I find lot of youngsters do not see this point. I've seen people are very successful, but they are not satisfied. So if your mind is filled with impurity, even though you may become successful, you will not be satisfied. Listen to this nice story. Isham's Mullah Nasiruddin was about to get married, and people told Mullah, in selecting a girl, make sure the girl's parents are very rich. So therefore, Mullah found out the richest parent and approached, I want to get married to one of your daughters. Mullah was a handsome looking guy, intelligent person. The father said, I have 8 daughters. Which daughter do you want to get married? The youngest daughter is 20 years old. If you marry her, I'll give you 20,000 rupees. The other daughter is 25 years old. If you marry her, I'll give you 1 lakh rupees. Another daughter is 35 years old. If you marry her, I'll give you 70 lakhs rupees. Another daughter is 45 years old. If you marry her, I'll give you 10 million. The other daughter is 58 years old. If you marry her, I'll give you much more than 10 million. And thus it went on. Mullah paused for a moment and said, do you have a daughter who is 75 years old? Now please understand, greed has no end. So you may be successful, but if your mind is filled with greed, you can never be happy. Children make this mistake, teenagers make the mistake, and even parents make this mistake of thinking that success is the only criterion in life. So parenting involves A, learn to be successful, which involves getting what you like, but also learn to be satisfied, that is liking what you get. Always in life, you can't get what you like. Therefore, you have to learn to like what you get. There's a nice story of a traveler asked the guide, what will be the weather at this point? And the guide said, the weather is going to be the weather which I like. The traveler said, how can you get a weather that you like? To which the guide says, I always don't get what I like, so I have learned to like what I get, so I'll get a weather which I like. This is a skill that parenting involves. Making children like what you get, at the same time have the commitment to get what you like. This balance of an outer and inner winner is another important vision that every parent should give to the child. In the Indian culture, there is Artha Shastra, Dharma Shastra, Kama Shastra and Moksha Shastra. 4 scriptures are there. Moksha Shastra tells you how to be satisfied. Artha Shastra tells you how to earn money. And it says earn money not out of greed but out of love. Then Dharma Shastra says earn money out of goodness. And Kama Shastra says learn to have healthy pleasures in life, not unhealthy pleasures in life. So Artha Shastra, Dharma Shastra, Kama Shastra, Moksha Shastra are very important dimension. So in a nutshell, learning to be an outer winner and inner winner from the principle of goodness is an important value that every parent should add to their child. In the process of a child growing, it is important for every parent to be sensitive to life. If they have been learners, they would have seen that one of the biggest struggles that we go through in the course of living, when we are bombarded at this present age with so much of pleasures, so much of temptations, you have to teach oneself and your children how to handle temptations in life. Now, temptations of smoking, temptations of drinking, temptations of flirting. There's so many temptations which are there. And in the Indian culture, there's a very beautiful expression. And if you can work on this expression, it's a powerful tool for you to handle temptations. It says, Sukha Prapti Dukkha Nivritti is our Pravritti. Means all of us are interested in Sukha. Sukha Prapti, we are interested in happiness. Dukkha Nivritti, all of us want to avoid unhappiness. So we want happiness, we want to avoid unhappiness. You can work on this pleasure and pain. By using Sukha and Dukkha, you can handle your temptations very dexterously in life. For example, let us say a diabetic patient looks at a sweet. What happens to him? He eats the sweet. By eating the sweet, his diabetic increases. So how should you educate that person? When he looks at the sweet, his mind says, this is Sukha, 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 pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. By not eating, it is Dukkha, 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 sorrow, sorrow, sorrow. It is pain, pain, pain. And the moment you represent a sweet as pleasure, avoidance of sweet as pain, then you are automatically interested in pleasure and you want to avoid pain, so you'll automatically eat that sweet. If you can wisely reframe, wisely look at sweet in a different angle. When you look at a sweet, when your mind says this is pleasure, if you can tell your mind this is not pleasure, in fact it is pain. By eating this, my diabetes will increase and in the longer run it is going to give me pain. By not eating sweet, I'll be more healthy, see it as pleasure. If I can reframe it as pleasure and pain differently, I can get over the temptation of eating. Any temptation you see, that if your mind represents it as pleasure, you're forced to eat. If your mind represents it as pain, you'll avoid eating this. So therefore, a diabetic goes on eating sweets and there is a stage in him which he'll realize, I'm losing my eyes, I'm losing my legs, and the same sweet, he starts seeing it as pain. The moment he sees it as pain, then you'll find he'll have the power to withdraw, because the basic pattern in us, the rishis tell us, is Sukha Prapti Dukkha Nivritti. We want joy, we want to avoid pain. You have to use these two very wisely. Even, let us say, a child getting up late from bed. When he gets up late from bed and is rolling in bed, if his mind goes on telling rolling in bed is pleasure, pleasure, getting up from bed is pain, pain, then he will continue rolling in bed. But if you make the child realize rolling in bed in fact is pain, because you'll go to school late, the teacher will punish you, you'll not come up in life, it is pain. The moment the mind says rolling bed is pain and getting up from bed is pleasure, because your hands are working, legs are working, and I'm going to come up in life, treat as pleasure, immediately you will be in a resourceful state wherein you can come out of a lethargic habit. Therefore, if pleasure and pain, if you use it wisely, any temptation, smoking, treat it as pain. Mind treats it as pleasure, and therefore you smoke. But if you train your mind and say it is pain, pain, not smoking is pleasure. Why? By not smoking, you will be more healthy. By being more healthy, you can enjoy nature better. The moment you represent it like this, which is called as Pratipaksha Bhavana in Sanskrit, you are reversing the whole thing, then you will find you will have the skill to handle the temptations in life. Therefore, parents should teach the child how to use this technique of Sukha and Dukkha, of pleasure and pain, in a very intelligent way to handle temptation. Parents always come and ask me this question, Swamiji, how to teach healthy habits to our children and how to avoid unhealthy habits? Now, there are so many healthy habits, so many unhealthy habits. But I first tell them, you practice healthy habits. Walk your talk and talk your walk, then your words will have much more power. I will say the most beautiful habit that you have to live and you have to teach is make children enjoy this value of being proactive in life, and make children see how it is unhealthy to have reactive habits in life. In Sanskrit, we say pratikriya and kriya. Pratikriya is reaction, kriya is action. I always find people get into wrong habits because there are very few ways people can be happy, and there are many ways people are unhappy. If parents can teach children many ways to be happy and very few ways to be unhappy, automatically the child will be proactive. I've seen even among parents, so many adults have done my workshop. What is your source of joy? It'll hardly be 3-4, eating, drinking, smoking, having sex. Very few will be the pleasure, and they have many ways to be unhappy. Now, the first important habit parents should create in themselves and in others, can we have many ways to be happy and very few ways to be unhappy, for which you should plan your life. Develop every month one new way to be happy. Like you can go for trekking, learn a new art, learn music, go to the hospital and do service to the patients. Develop many, many ways. Instead of simply eating, drinking, if you can have many ways to be happy, even reading a book, looking at the sunrise, watching the birds, and if you can have that, you will find you will be less reactive in life. What happens if you are more reactive? Your life is going to be in hell. So you have to make the child see the more you are upset, you will be in hell. I always tell my workshop, hurt or upset, whether justified or not justified, is self-damaging. There's a beautiful Zen story where a samurai, a Japanese warrior, goes to a Zen master and says, "Oh master, which is the way to heaven, which is the way to hell, according to Zen Buddhism?" The Zen master gets up and says, "You idiot, you fool, you do not know which is the gate to heaven or hell." The samurai, when he hears this, he gets so annoyed, immediately takes the sword out from the sheath. And as he's taking the sword out from the sheath, the master says, "This is the gate to hell." Then the student realizes what the master is conveying. So he keeps back the sword in the sheath, and as he is keeping, the master says, "This is the gate to heaven." And thereby teaching a very important teaching of Zen, that is, if you are reactive, you will go to hell. If you are responsive, you will be in heaven. Taking out the sword was not an action, was a reaction. And the more you are reactive, hell becomes here and now. The more you are proactive, heaven becomes here and now. You have to make the child realize heaven and hell is the state of mind that you are in. So learn to be proactive and not reactive by creating a value of being proactive. If you don't teach this art, then you will find children will become victim to situations. They will not become a victor. But if this value of proactivity is taught, then you will find irrespective of the situation, they will be a winner and not a loser. In the life of a freedom fighter called Madan Mohan Malviya, there's a beautiful incident wherein he was going and establishing the Benares Hindu University, and he was collecting donations, and it seems he goes to Hyderabad and meets one of the Nawab or Nizam for donation, and he did not like the word Hindu, so he got annoyed in the course of his conversation, so he took his shoe and threw at Madan Mohan Malviya. He takes it and goes out and then starts auctioning the shoe of the Nawab. Now the Nawab came to know his single shoe was auctioned. He felt bad, ego got affected, and therefore what he did is he sent some of his people to increase the price of the shoe. And therefore Madan Mohan Malviya got the best price of the shoe thrown at him. Now if you study powerful people, even though somebody has accused them, they know how to use it in a proactive way. right as the child is growing, teach them to be proactive, not reactive. This is a very important value to be taught. I've seen one of my students in Bombay who got married after about 8-9 years of courtship, and hardly after 4 months of marriage, the husband scolded the wife for standing on the bus stop late in the night for her husband to come. He felt scared that she should not stand in the night in Bombay, so he slightly banged her. She got so upset that she went and drank some acid, and in the process she killed herself. For an insignificant phenomena, when reaction becomes a habit, we major on minor things. If reaction is a habit, you start majoring on minor things. This is a real incident of one of my students. So it's very important where parents should teach children how it is a healthy asset to be proactive and how it is a liability to be reactive. This should be taught with examples and by your demonstration as a parent. Another important dimension that parents should teach their children is this: just putting 100% effort is not enough in life. In the Indian culture, we say prayatna and prarthana both are necessary. Prayatna is effort, prarthana is prayer. Put 100% effort, but finally what happens is a factor called grace. The science talks of the law of gravitation. Religion talks about the law of grace. What is important is children should understand there is a factor called grace also in life. Put 100% effort, but finally what does the magic is the factor called grace. The atheists only believe in effort. There are some people, the so-called religious people, only believe in prayer. So if you can amalgamate effort and prayer, the moment you understand there's a factor called grace, then you become sensitive to some other hand which can also help you in the course of your life. This is an important value that you have to sow. Lot of parents come and tell me that when I advise my children, the children get very angry, very upset. They feel they are taking away my freedom. And I always tell the parents, please see in what style are you saying this. Are you on the authoritative style? Are you the persuading style? Are you the negotiating style? Are you the empowering style? Parenting involves not sheerly being authoritative, not sheerly negotiating for everything, not sheerly persuading, but you should be empowering parents. Empowering parents includes these three. At the same time, includes the dimension of really giving unconditional love to your children. And if you don't give unconditional love to your children, then the child feels that you are bossing over me. I always tell parents to tell their children and work on this. I give you what you need more than what you want. Children want what they want. Parents give you what you need. So if you make them realize I give you what you need more than what you want, then if the child realizes that, then you will find the child will understand better, and the process also understand. Give a little freedom for the child to be wrong. Don't become too right. Don't be like the unwise plumber. When he was taken to Niagara Falls, he said, I will set the Niagara Falls right. So don't do too much of waterproofing to the child. Give them a little freedom to be wrong. At the same time, learn to empower them. I give you what you need more than what you want. And if that value is seen, then the child will understand the intention of the parents. You will find a bridge is built between parents and the children. The greatest gift parents can give to children is the gift of understanding. And the gift of understanding is this: learn to treat life in a very different way. When you have problems in life, learn to treat problems as challenges and not as curses. Every difficulty is an opportunity. So make them treat a problem as a challenge, as an opportunity to grow, and not something as a curse. When God gives you problems, It is to make you more intelligent, make you more powerful. And when you have this, you will treat a problem as a challenge. The moment you treat a problem as a challenge, you find it's a great opportunity for you to handle it. Listen to this beautiful story. There was once a philanthropic person who constructed a beautiful football stadium and invited the football giants like Maradona, Zico, Bebeto, Romario for a football match. Out of his own money, he invited the football giants, and the football match was going on. Everybody was jubilant in the city for the philanthropic act. They are seeing a live football match. But the philanthropist's only son had a very sad, unhappy face. The father asked, "Son, why are you so sad?" To which the son said, "Daddy, I never thought you were such a miser." The father got stumped hearing the statement. "You call me a miser, son? I've spent millions of dollars in constructing the stadium, millions of dollars in inviting the football giants, and how is that you call me a miser?" The son says, "Daddy, I know you've spent millions of dollars, but just look, Daddy, just look, what a great miser you have been." The father says, "That's what I'm doing, son. I'm looking and enjoying." The son says, "Look, Daddy, 22 players in this hot sun are desperately, frantically running after one ball. Can't you be a little more generous to donate some more balls? After all, how much has a ball cost?" Just imagine, friends, a football match, 22 players and 22 balls. Hey, the fun of the game of football is 22 players are running after one ball. It is true, it is tiring. It is true, they are anxious. It is true that they are desperate. But all that adds fun to the game of soccer. Exactly in the same way, if you can have a player's attitude towards life, take every problem like a player takes it, like a challenge, and out of a challenge, when you start dealing with your problem, you find a tremendous power within you will arise, and out of that power you find life becomes a real festival. Life becomes really alive and vibrant. And this is another great teaching. Every parent should treat a problem as a challenge. And finally, let the parents make the child realize the real happiness lies within you and not outside. In the state of deep sleep, when you have no contact with any objects, still you are happy. Where did that happiness come from? The happiness came from within. And hence Lord Krishna in the Gita says, "Antas sukham," happiness is within. In the Bible, it is said the kingdom of heaven is within you. So the child should realize happiness is within, the adventure is outside. Let happiness and adventure be the two wings of the flight of the child. Let parents become supporters rather than dictators. And if that happens, you will find it's such a great gift to give birth to a child. It's such a great gift to support the child and you to make this world a beautiful place to live in. May God bless you all.